How you doing? No, seriously, how are you doing? Remember that Budweiser commercial from a few years back? Apparently I do. So welcome back to the Insert Clever and Witty Name Here podcast. I'm Mike, and thank you, in all sincerity, for finding us, if this is your first go-around with us, and, well, maybe more importantly, for those who actually came back after boosting us last week. So 2 weeks ago, when I first started these big boy podcasts with our home site, Podomatic, the Insert Clever and Witty Name Here podcast, we ranked 275 out of all the news podcasts. And I picked the news category because with what I want to do on a weekly basis with these, I really couldn't think of any other category that this would be suited to be in. And news just seemed generic enough. Okay, we'll just drop ourselves in the news category. So 2 weeks ago, we were ranked 275, again, with all the news podcasts. Last week, got the email from Podomatic. We have jumped all the way from 275 to number 72. So yes, thank you. I know, you're too kind. No, you're just digital applause. Anyway, it's not even real. So but seriously, thank you. I appreciate it. So now the pressure is on to keep up a quality product for you. And there are lots of other things on this site you may want to check out. There are 50 other sound bites, clips, things that I did while on 104.9 The Wolf in Peoria. For all my friends who have found me from Peoria, hey, hopefully you'll like what you hear with this particular episode. But if you want to go back and listen to some classic bits that I did with John and Dr. Chris and Danger Dan, yeah, I got some great bits with them. And then some things I did solo before I got the job at 104.9 The Wolf here in the San Joaquin Valley in Visalia. And for any of my friends that are here in the Valley, you can listen to me every single morning, my mornings with Mike Pesto on my 97.5. And if you're not in the Valley, if you are in Peoria or anywhere else for that matter, you can listen online at my975fm.com. We've got our mobile app you can find very easily, just my975fm. Google Home Mini, Alexa, all the streaming services that are out there. So lots of ways that you can check it out, and I appreciate it. Every day on the show, Monday through Friday, on My97.5, I do something called, basically just a celebration of what we celebrate that day. From this website that I go to, Check-A-Day, or Check-I-Day. Is that what it's Check-I? Check-I-Day.com. So I guess Check-I-Day. Strange name, but it's kind of fun. So tomorrow, this will be Tuesday the 30th, we'll be celebrating Pencil Day, which begs a question. Why is it that it's always the number two pencil that you need for Scantron tests? Does anyone use the number one pencil or the number three pencil? Or I don't even know if there's a number four or not for anything. It's just the number two. You got to feel bad if you're the number one pencil. It's like you came out first, but you know, there were some defects, there was a factory recall, and then you had to go to the number two, and now everyone just uses number two, and then maybe there's a number three, I don't know, but you know, what's the purpose of that one? No idea, but tomorrow is Pencil Day. It's also National I Am In Control Day. Seriously? with everything that we've all been going through the past 370-plus days now, National I Am In Control Day. No, I think the virus is still in control, but we can fake it if we want to. Most importantly, and I'll spend a lot of time talking about this on the air on Tuesday, is National Doctors Day. And we celebrated Nurses Day, I think, a few weeks ago. So for all the doctors that are on the front line specifically, that we'll gear up with the PPE, and we've all heard stories and seen videos of in some areas when this was at its apex this past winter, I believe, wearing PPE intended for a one-time use over and over and over again and exposing themselves, doctors and nurses for that matter, and first responders to the virus, and in many cases getting it, and in some cases not surviving a battle with COVID-19. So for all the doctors on National Doctors Day tomorrow, we will be saluting you again on My97.5. So talked about this last week that I want to kind of break this down into like three parts. One that maybe something about me that I haven't talked about on the air, or I will be talking about at some point. And I want to hit on that first. And then a couple other things that I saw in the news and will be touching on briefly tomorrow morning on the air, but want to spend a lot more time talking about it here. And then finally, I want to thank Nita. I jumped on a Facebook Live video last week before I picked up the kids from school. And I was asking, you know, what topics would you like me to get into for the little harder hitting part of the podcast that I want to do every week. And she suggested kids having to re-socialize back into school, which is a great subject and a great idea to get into. So my kids are standing by. They're actually downstairs watching Littlefoot right now. So hopefully by the time I need them and will be ready for them, they'll be done with the movie. And if not, I will just yell for them and they'll listen to Daddy. And we'll see how that goes. But a couple of things I want to talk about. First, something about me that I will be getting into probably this week. I think I'm like most people in that I don't like to be proven wrong. I mean, no one likes to be proven wrong. But for the most part, except when I'm trolling on Facebook, I will keep my mouth shut in a lot of cases. On the rare occasion, I will jump in conversation and correct someone. Most notably, the first one that came to mind was John Young, who I used to do the morning show with on 104.9 The Wolf in Peoria. We were at a remote at one point. And this is nothing against John, because I'm sure a lot of people felt this way. It's just, it involved him and me correcting something that he believed because I had seen it on Mythbusters. We were at this remote, and I don't know why it came up. Someone must have said something about having seen a daddy long leg spider. And John jumped in and said, well, you know, the daddy long leg spider is actually the most poisonous spider on the planet. It's just its fangs are too short to actually puncture anyone's skin. So that's the only reason why you don't have to fear a daddy long-legged spider. And I'm like, I would not have said anything if it weren't for the fact that it was literally the night before I was watching Mythbusters and they had battled that one. They had tackled it because it's a myth that they had heard time and time again. And it was a great show where they would just do those myths that they would either find out about, they knew about, or that someone would email them or get in touch with them and say, could you talk about this one? So they did, went through the process of milking a daddy long leg spider, getting it to pierce a little membrane with his fangs and injecting the venom and then seeing, okay, how is this venom? And they determined through that episode of Mythbusters, well, no, that actually just is an old wives' tale. And why it's called an old wives' tale, I don't know. I can't imagine it's only old wives that come up with this thing. I'm sure some, yeah, anyway, I want to get too sidetracked. So they debunked it, you know, myth debunked with the big stamp on it. So when John had mentioned that, I'm like, actually, I was just watching this episode of Mythbusters last night. you're going to laugh, but that's wrong. It's a myth. They milked it and the whole deal. I saw the video. It's fascinating. And this was before streaming services, so I don't think he DVR'd it, so he couldn't go back and checked it out for himself. And I'm hoping he believed me that is indeed the case. But I know he was kind of hurts too strong of a word, but because again, no one likes to be proven wrong. And I point that story out to counter it with this. Just yesterday, I was talking with my wife. What were we talking about? See, I remember she proved me wrong. Oh, dreams. We're talking about that she hasn't gotten a really good night's sleep lately. And she said, you know, I haven't even been dreaming. I said, oh, well, you know, you always dream. And then I went to tell her, sometimes what happens, I'm just sure what actually happened in your case, my love, my dear, as I'm setting her right, is that I'm sure you fell asleep earlier in the evening and you had some great dreams then. And maybe you didn't sleep as well after that. And I mean, you know, if you don't force yourself to remember a dream within seconds of waking up, you're not going to remember it. And sometimes if you really concentrate on it, you can actually remember that dream and then the one before it, and maybe even the one before that, because you have multiple dreams every single night. I did actually in grade school a research project on dreams. So I consider myself the foremost dream authority here in the house. So when my wife told me, no, not everyone dreams every single night, I was chomping at the bit to tell her, listen, I did the project in grade school. We talked about this, the dream research study. Remember, I had the dream journal and everything. And I'm telling you, every single person dreams every single night. They just don't always remember it. And she was insistent. She said, that's just not true. I mean, she was very polite about it. And I said, okay, fine. So I grabbed my phone. And this is the wonderful thing about having technology at our fingertips, whether you have an Alexa in the house or a Google Home Mini, or in this case, it was my iPhone. So I just asked Siri. I said, Siri, does everyone dream every night? And it was very clear to point out that everyone does dream. But you see where this is going. Not everyone dreams every single night. You don't always slip into REM sleep, rapid eye movement. And I did not know that. So I looked that up and I said, it looks like you're right. And I was wrong on this one. Not the only time that's been the case. Several years ago, we had this conversation about laundry, and I do the bulk of the laundry here at the house. It wasn't always the case, but now I do. And when I was first taking over laundry duties from my wife, for the most part, I was washing the dark clothes that we had in warm water and then the whites in hot to really clean them, because it's underwear and socks and sheets and things like that. And, not going to do much damage to them. And I figured warm water for the dark colors. And she said, no, you don't want to do that, because anything warmer than cold, it's going to shrink the fabric. I said, no, you're so wrong about that. It's the dryer. It's the drying process. That's where you shrink things. You want to dry on a cooler cycle. You have to tumble a little longer and you get more wear and tear on your dryer and you pay more because it's operating more. But that's when she said, yeah, okay, the bulk of it, yes, but some actually happens in the washing cycle too. That's not right. So I checked my phone and she was right about that too. Now I've done my homework and I consider myself the foremost authority on laundry here in the house now that I'm doing laundry. And I've checked on a couple other things, and there have been occasions, I can't think of any off the top of my head, but there have been occasions where I have been right on something and she's been wrong. But again, I just can't think of those right now. So that's a little pull back the curtain moment from my life, which I'll share some of that on the air, I'm sure, at some point this week on my 97.5. One thing that came up this morning, this was one of the stories that I did for The Dirt, story that came out of the Vancouver Sun. Police seeking man who damaged art at Vancouver Art Gallery, which, it happens with kids all the time, because kids are very tactile. They want to touch everything and experience everything, and the way that they experience things is not just through listening and seeing, but also by touching. And our daughter just can't keep her hands off the thing. This is one museum that she would not have been allowed to go to. But that part didn't really grab my attention. Then I saw the cost to repair this piece of art was $5,500 to $6,500. So, and I actually printed out the story. Vancouver police are asking the public to help identify a man who damaged a piece of art at the Vancouver Art Gallery. A video circulating on social media shows a man damaging a part of Indigenous artist Maureen Grubin's Delta Trim. That's the name of the work of art, said police. The damage was isolated. Here's the part that grabbed me. To the section of bubble wrap, police allege, was popped by the man on February 3rd. So, and I saw, in fact, I'm looking at it right now. It's a piece of the art. It's a combination of moose hide and reflective bubble wrap, which is tied off with a zip tie in one area. And apparently he was there as just a patron checking out the art and walked past this exhibit with bubble wrap, and he just couldn't help himself and reached over whatever the barrier that was there was. And now, I don't know if he was a zip popper or if he was and just doing one at a time, but just popping that bubble wrap, again, $5,500 to $6,500 worth of damage. And he was in a mask because of protocol, so no one seems to know who he is. And there's a picture of him on that article. Again, this was the, the Vancouver Sun. So they're seeking him out because he couldn't keep his hands off of it. I have a feeling, and I had to research this, that he suffers from trypophobia. Trypophobia, it's the fear of holes, specifically clusters of small holes, bumps, or patterns. There's no actual fear or attraction to bubble wrap, apparently, with a phobia, but there is this fear of in clusters of small holes, bumps, which you could call bubble wrap bumps or patterns. So I saw that, which was I thought was interesting. This I want to talk about on the air tomorrow. And I'm actually going to have a poll question up on the station's Twitter page, too. This was in The Sun that Prince William apparently is considered the world's sexiest bald man. Yeah. Well, first of all, he's not bald. He's balding, follically challenged, if you will. But it's just the part that's in the middle. It's almost like he's got a little mini Friar Tuck going. It's kind of hard to tell because he has light blonde hair to begin with. So the hair that he does have is like camouflaged with his balding area. But how on earth did The Sun and its readership determine that, seriously, that he is the sexiest bald man on the planet? Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who is bald, some by nature's doing, the rest by his, he shaves his head, apparently not amused by any of this, had some fun with it. You think you know where he's going with this tweet, and then he throws you a curveball. He tweeted about it when he found out the news. He said, "How in the cinnamon toast," and then uses a word I'm not going to use because there may be children who listen to this podcast, and my kids will want to because they're going to be on it here in just a bit. "Does this happen?" Now you're thinking he's complaining about Prince William and not him. He says, "When Larry David clearly has a pulse." I'm throwing his friend Larry David into the mix for the world's sexiest bald man. So, again, I did a little bit more research on this. I'm going to talk about it on the air. The poll actually had, Dwayne The Rock Johnson was not even an option on this at all, and nor was Larry David. Your options were Prince William, Jason Statham, Stanley Tucci, who, again, I don't think he's bald. He's got the Friar Tuck thing going. Mike Tyson, who is clearly bald. Oh, yeah, take it back. And there he is right at the bottom, The Rock Johnson. I don't know if I ever came across the actual final result other than knowing that Prince William won. I think Stanley Tucci came in second. How Mike Tyson isn't two behind Dwayne The Rock Johnson, I have no idea. But that's something I definitely want to get into tomorrow morning on my 97.5 because it's interesting that you'd have Prince William as number one on that list when there are some good-looking bald guys. I was bald at one point. Well, when Cash Shank was still with us, if you don't know Cash Shank, he was a St. Jude patient years ago. And with the cancer treatment that he had, he was bald at one point while he was going through the process. Unfortunately, Cash lost his battle. It was heartbreaking when that happened too. He was, because I've been a part of St. Jude radiothons through several different stations I've worked at over the years. K-Tom in the Salinas Valley, the Wolf in Peoria, middle of the state, Illinois, central Illinois. And then a third go around, actually four times, another time at KWNR in Las Vegas, and then here in the San Joaquin Valley, South Valley, at 106.7 KJUG Country. And it was the fourth station at KJUG where we were introduced to Cash shortly after he was diagnosed and started going to Memphis for the treatments. And at one point, he was getting one of the protocols through Memphis at Valley Children's. And it just so happened that we were on the coast at the time on a family trip, and we saw Cash's mom post something on her Facebook page, and his dad as well, that they were at Valley Children's. And I thought, and this is years before COVID and everything else, so I thought, how great would it be if we just, you know, stop by? I mean, we got to drive a little ways out of the way, but you know, let's stop by and say hi. I'm sure they'd appreciate it. So I think I reached out on Facebook and say, we're going to be driving by on our way back from the coast. Would it be okay if we came in and said hi? And they both said, yes, absolutely. I know Cash would love it. And we went through and saw Cash there in bed getting his IV and his treatment. And my son was a couple months older or younger than Cash. I can't remember now. But, I mean, he was young at the time. Must have been maybe five, maybe six possibly. And he's running around the hospital room like a child that age would, you know, pent up within, at that point had been in a car for nearly 2 hours. And now you're being asked to stand still in a hospital room when you're not confined by a seatbelt. Ain't gonna happen. So he's running around the hospital room. And I remember Cash at one point looked up to his mom and watching Anthony run around the room for a couple minutes and said, I like him. And that always struck me. But before Cash passed and lost his battle, we did an event through the station, Shave for Cash. Cash having a double meaning. One, we were literally shaving for Cash Shank, and we were also asking people to come by the station and have their heads shaved in exchange for donation. So you couldn't just come in and have your head shaved. You also had to then make a donation. So what a lot of people did is they did their own pledges with friends of theirs. Say, hey, I'm going to do this. How about you pledge $10? How about you pledge $5? So it was a fun little fundraiser in anticipation of and in prepping for the radiothon that the station had that year. So that was the one time, the only time I have actually ever had my head buzzed. I got it buzzed there. They weren't able to shave everyone's head, so I got it buzzed as close as they could. And then when I went home, I actually took a razor and shaved me down to just bare skin. My wife was afraid that it would not grow back. She was convinced I was going to be bald for the rest of my life. And it did come back a little bit more gray in some areas, but it did come back a lot thinner though. Most of it did come back. There were some that didn't, but my hair seems to be much thinner now since having done that, which is fine. So I, in honor of Cash, I can't imagine me ever doing that again voluntarily. Now, if Mother Nature has something to say about it, that's going to happen. Although looking at my dad, and I spent some time with my folks on the coast this past weekend. It's my mom's birthday today, actually, the 29th. But yesterday, my dad threw a little surprise party for her at one of the vineyards there outside. So, and the way that they handled it there was great, that as you were walking through the vineyard, and certainly while you're walking through the building, everyone kept their masks on. And then it wasn't until you got into your little circle of people that you were there with that you could take your mask off or feel comfortable doing it. And everyone that we were with have had their vaccinations, and the kids were all playing elsewhere, so they weren't going to be exposed to anything. And they had their masks on the whole time as well. But I really appreciated how the winery handled it. Sculptera, by the way, is the name of it, if you want to check them out. Beautiful grounds, absolutely gorgeous grounds, and live music, and the wine was good too, and the company was incredible. Seeing my folks for the first time since February, actually, February 3rd. So it's been a while. But I can't imagine, just out of respect to Cash, ever shaving my head again, because it meant so much to me. I don't know if he was ever aware that I did that. But I was, and you know, in honor of him and in memory of him, I think that's going to be probably the last time that I voluntarily have my head shaved. And looking at my dad, I think I'll probably have all of my hair. He's thinning in a lot of areas. Well, actually, he's got hair everywhere. It's not like the Prince William we were talking about earlier, but it's almost all gray, like white gray, and very thin. And he still styles it, which it's fun. You know, I love my dad, I love my folks, and it was great seeing them this past weekend. All right, so moving on to the third part of our podcast this go around. Going back to what Nita had suggested on that Facebook Live video, kids having to re-socialize back into school. We are privileged at this moment to be joined by two experts in that particular field, my son and my daughter. Say hi.
Hi.
It's okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and now they're even clapping for you. Isn't that nice?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, so Alessandra, we'll start with you. So first of all, do you know what re-socialize means?
I don't know. Why okay. You're asking.
Basically, interacting with your friends again.
Yeah.
When, because you did the whole Zoom thing for as long as you guys did the whole Zoom thing.
Yeah.
So in spending time with you, well, first of all, you guys had to adjust how you interacted with your friends.
Yes.
Like at recess. Like what was different about recess or time outside after you went back to school, as opposed to before you were told that you had to stay home and you had to do Zoom from the beginning? What was different?
Kind of surprising, with only one thing that's different.
What was different?
We bumped into each other. We couldn't be near each other for 5 minutes.
Well, what about the shadow tag?
No, like since everyone can like bump into each other, if that happens, then we have to stop playing for 5 minutes.
Okay, just to remind you that you're not supposed to get that close. But you guys were telling me, and maybe it was Anthony, but I thought you did too, that you guys would play shadow tag.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. Since we're running around, bumping into each other.
So for anyone who has never played shadow tag, what are the rules with shadow tag?
So, you can only play this game when the sun's out, obviously.
Well, yeah, shadow's involved, so yeah.
Yeah, you have to get other people's shadow, and when you do, they're frozen or they're a part of your team trying to get everyone else.
Oh, so there's like different rules within playing shadow tag.
Yeah, right? and there's another mode, like another way is if you get someone, they have to go to the circle till the next round to freeze people.
Okay, so without dropping any names, because maybe your friends will end up listening to this, or their mommies or daddies, did you have a best friend at school before the first time you had to be sent home and do Zoom learning? Do you remember if you had like someone that you would have considered your best friend at that point before COVID-19?
You already know.
Okay, no names, but did you?
Yeah.
Now, is that same person your best friend now since you've come back to school?
Well, that's hard to answer because I don't know if she's my friend anymore.
I see. So things did change then.
No, that's because she's not in the school anymore.
Oh, well, I guess. Just that would have something to do with it.
Yeah.
But was it different interacting with your friends once you came back for fear of getting it, for maybe friends of yours that didn't have their mask on as often as maybe you thought they should? You know, what was it like for you? And I want to talk with Anthony about that in a second. Okay. But for you, what was it like, Alessandra?
What
was it just like spending time with your friends again? Because with Zoom, what's weird with Zoom, and I've talked about this on the air, is when you're in a Zoom class, typically the teacher is the only one who's talking and everyone else is muted.
Yeah, we can only talk at recess.
Yeah, so you could be saying, you could be yelling as far as the teacher knows, but she won't hear you because it's muted. The only one that's going to hear it is you.
Mm-hmm. And anyone else in your house?
Well, yeah, but as far as anyone on the Zoom call, anyone of your classmates would have no idea. Whereas when you're in class, if you make noise while the teacher's talking, now suddenly the teacher hears it, the class hears it. So what was it like for two reasons? We'll start with your friends and then we'll go to the learning. What was it like with your friends as far as you didn't see them in person for the longest time and then you get back to school, you see them for the first time, I'm sure you want to give hugs, and what was it like knowing that you can't do any of that?
When I was on Zoom, my only expression was meh, math, and any other subject.
What's meh?
I just didn't have feelings for Zoom.
Oh, okay. So you weren't a big fan of Zoom?
No, not at all.
So how about with learning? Do you like Zoom as opposed to being in person? Or as far as the learning aspect, not so much the friends, but what was better for you?
Probably school.
Be in school.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Switch it up. Let's see have Anthony sit down.
You asked me a question.
I know. And you answered it very, very well. And look, and all everyone's applauding. They really appreciate your answer.
Thank you.
All right. So now we're joined by my son, Anthony, who is
12 turning into 13 in September.
Okay. September
8th.
Okay. So you seem to do better with Zoom than your sister did.
Yeah, well, I'm with her on this. Zoom wasn't really the, I mean, since we had to not socialize as much, I knew it was like our only hope and still learn during this virus. I mean, I agree it was a smart choice, but it's not really nice to, like, you have to be quiet. You can't hear your friends' voices that more often.
Yeah, and that kind of goes back to what I was talking about with Alessandra with the Zoom. Now, you had two or three teachers, though. She just had the one that would have the Zoom session in the morning and then work and then Zoom session in the afternoon with the same teacher and then more work. Did you have two or three teachers doing the Zooms with you?
Three teachers.
So how was yours? Because I was at work for most of it. How did your day go when you were doing Zoom?
It would be at the start of the day, math.
Okay.
Then next part, ELA. Then,
which is what?
Which is like English learning.
Something like, wrong.
Yeah. All I know is it's
English learning and ...
Yeah. and then snack and recess. And then we go back inside for social studies or science. Mondays are usually social studies and Tuesdays are science. And then we have Rosetta Stone, which is basically Spanish learning.
Uh-huh.
And then we have lunch and then recess. And then we have religion and then we pack up and then we go.
Well, by pack up and go, you mean pack up and stay.
Well,
you didn't go anywhere.
Well, for Zoom. Well, at school, pack up and go, Zoom.
Now,
just
did the teacher, since you guys are a little older, and I get it at Alessandra's grade level because she's in third grade, that kids have that pent-up energy, especially when they're home. So the teacher had everyone on mute. Was everyone on mute during the learning session when the teacher was talking, or did she let everyone have their microphones on?
It's on mute for all of us. And okay. I can probably think it would probably because maybe some families would have like the loud one or dogs that would like interrupt.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. So you did that and then you went back to school again just a few weeks ago. So starting off with school, we'll flip-flop it. Did you like Zoom learning more than in-person learning or vice versa?
Vice versa. I liked in-person learning more than Zoom.
But you did really well with it. Is it because that, I mean, you do like spending a lot of time on the computer. You do the Minecraft and sometimes Roblox with your younger cousins.
Yeah,
You'll do that, which is fun because you can play with them when they're in a different state.
Yeah. Yeah. And also there's Prodigy, which is basically like a learning thing.
Okay. Yeah. And a lot of the the learning activities that you had through the school's website, they were kind of game-based.
Yeah, there was Freckle, which is basically the more you work on, the more coins you get, the more you could customize your avatar. And that was made by the Renaissance, which is our star testing.
Okay. So, yeah, so I was a little surprised when you told us that you appreciated being in classroom more than Zoom. But as far as how you think you're doing so far, do you think you did better? Well, you certainly did better on Zoom than your sister did. She struggled a little bit. Just a tad? Yeah, maybe. Let's be honest. Should I call your teacher? Boy, you can see her face right now.
Yeah.
I'm sure your teacher saw that face more than a few times. But, you know, it's only been a few weeks. You know, we haven't seen a progress report yet since you've been back in school. Do you think your grades are going to be as good as they were with Zoom? Or do you think they're going to drop off a little bit as you're kind of readjusting to learning in class?
I mean, maybe they'll drop off like in the first few.
So you're bracing us now for a letdown.
Uh-huh. I mean, maybe they're going to go down a little bit like in the start of the quarter, but then they're going to like just stay at that even point.
Okay. All right. So how about with your friends? And I think I'm fairly certain of the answer on this one. But as far as hanging out with your friends with Minecraft and the other games that you play with them and just hearing their voices and then seeing them in the classroom, but you really can't interact with them the way that you would want to, as opposed to going to school and being with them in class and then at lunchtime and then at recess.
And then,
So which was better?
I would probably say school.
Probably?
Yeah, I mean, because the way how I would do with my friends is because we would always have our cameras off. And I don't know who started the camera off thing. All I know is that. And that's really why, because we would usually, all we really supposed to do on Zoom is to just pay attention to what the teacher says.
Uh-huh.
But for the class is basically, I can look around, but I would still hear. It's just sort of harder to listen on Zoom than class.
Okay. Are we boring you? You're yawning over here. I spent 5 minutes talking to someone other than you, and
I'm just yawning in general.
Is that an effect?
I don't think I have a.
There's a snoring.
There's a snoring sound effect on here.
Yeah,
there you go.
You can't hear it.
No, they're hearing it. Everyone listening to this right now.
Yeah.
So, do you remember getting back to Alessandra for a second, just in general, the question that you asked me? This is when we were still living in our other house. So when the first lockdown took place, do you remember the question that you asked me about COVID-19?
I think.
So what was it?
Why is COVID-19 called COVID-19?
No. You may have asked that one. But the one that I'm wondering if you remember is.
Oh, I don't know.
Which one?
I know two more.
Okay, two more.
Okay, if God loves us, why would he create the COVID?
Okay, that wasn't it either.
And there's another one. Has there been any other COVID?
Yes, that was you at the question you asked was how many COVID-19s have I lived through?
Zero.
At the age of you were 8 at that point, you're 9 now. So, and I said this is the first one for you, for Anthony.
Yeah.
For mommy, for daddy,
for the dogs,
for your grandparents.
Wow.
Now, Grandma, who's no longer with us.
Grandma Clopat?
Yes, this would have been her second. Yes, because she was barely alive during the first one years ago. It was more than 100 years ago.
Wow.
She's 100?
Well, not anymore because she's not with us anymore.
Well, she still ages even though she's
No,
dead.
It doesn't work that way.
I don't know.
After when you pass, then it's no longer a birthday. It's a birth anniversary.
Okay.
That doesn't make sense.
No, it's like an anniversary.
But an anniversary is when you and your husband or wife.
No, that's one. That's
not
one type of anniversary.
It's not always like.
So you can have like if someone has like an addiction to alcohol and they decide I'm going to stop drinking.
Don't drink alcohol.
They can have an anniversary of I'm 1 year sober. I'm 3 years sober. This is my anniversary of being 5 years sober. Or for anyone who stopped smoking, which neither one of you are allowed to ever start.
Yay!
Okay.
Yeah, so, we all like that.
So you guys both prefer in-person learning and socializing. Do you think, I mean, it's kind of hard to tell because no one's ever gone through this. Well, very few people have gone through this that are still alive because, again.
This is 100 years.
Yeah. And there's some people who are more than 100 years old who may have some vague recollection of what it was like years ago when this happened before. But do you think that it's hurt you a lot to not have had that interaction with people as much as you would like to? Even now, I mean, I know there are times you want to do sleepovers and and mommy and daddy aren't ready for you guys to go down that road yet. There are some parents who are, and again, everyone has to make their own decisions, but I know you want to do those things. Do you think it's hurt you socially? Do you think you would be different socially if this hadn't happened? I know it's kind of a big question to ask.
I don't really know.
I don't get it.
It's kind of hard to tell.
I mean, the only way we would know is if
you could hit reset and go back and do it again and then see.
Like get the DeLorean and then just go to the wherever COVID-19 and then just stop the main project.
But you guys did something. I'm wondering how many other maybe parents had their kids do this. Do you guys remember what you guys did last summer? The idea that daddy had that you guys do?
Oh, yeah.
I know two things that we did in summer.
Okay. Slept in way too much. For sure. Watched a lot of movies.
No, there's two that were activities.
Okay.
The second one isn't really an activity. The first one was Sundays we go to a Magnu, and the other one was
we just stay home.
No, we would go to our grandparents' house to spend a week with them and then go back home.
I'm talking about, though, the journals that you guys wrote in.
Oh, wow.
Your COVID-19 journal. So I suggested to them every day you guys write something, whether it's just one sentence or an entire paragraph or two or three pages, just whatever it is you're thinking, whatever it is you're feeling, however it is you're dealing with everything that's going on, so that years from now, when you guys have kids and grandkids, and they ask you when they learn about, because people will learn about this in school years from now.
Yeah, like Black Death.
Yeah, or when the stock market crashed, or Pearl Harbor, or things like that. So when your grandkids ask you, Grandpa Anthony,
or
Grandma Alessandra,
Grandpa Michael,
do you remember what it was like? And you could say, not only do I remember, and then you could go in your drawer, open it up and say, I actually wrote in this journal almost every day, because while my mommy and daddy told me to do it, there were some days I didn't.
Yeah.
Or would only write down a word or two, Anthony, Anthony.
Okay. I don't actually know where my journal is.
Okay, I'll open the
You
journal.
Do or don't?
Don't.
You don't know where your journal is?
I know where it is.
I mean,
you know where his is?
No, I know where mine is.
Okay.
Want me to get it?
No, it's okay. Maybe that'll be next week's podcast.
You open the journal. Okay, the first word is hi, and that's it.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. All right, so I think if we figured out anything, thank goodness there's really no way to go back and see if this, at this point, has been detrimental to the point that you won't have the same type of life that you would have had otherwise. And just hope that you guys can catch up and adjust to schooling in person and eventually have slumber parties. And you had your first birthday party last weekend, so that was fun for you.
Yeah.
Outdoors and paintball fights and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're usually outside playing with the neighbors.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the summer's coming. We can go in the pool soon.
Yeah.
So once you guys have your shots, especially.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys nervous about that, getting your vaccines?
No.
Is it like a?
It's just a regular shot.
It's like when you guys had your shots when you were younger, which I don't know if you guys remember.
It's like flu shot.
From measles and mumps and chicken pox and all of those. It's a shot, I think, in your arm. You used to hate those, Alessandra.
I remember one.
A pinch?
I remember.
It'll feel like a punch afterwards, but it's a pinch at first.
So it's like a in, out. Or yep. Is it in?
In, out. Yeah. Boom, boom, boom.
It's like going to make me have a nightmare, and I'm never getting the vaccine.
Oh, I certainly don't want to do that.
No, I remember one time when I was supposed to get a shot, I ran out of the doctor's office.
Oh, my. With a needle still in your arm?
No, before when they put it in, I was like, no, I'm not doing this, I'm out.
And with that, they're gone. So thank you to Anthony and Alessandra for sharing their insights into resocializing with friends. I think the only thing that we pulled away from that was they still definitely have their personalities, and there may have been some setbacks with it. But at the same time, you know, we're kind of learning as we go, parents, all of us, in what we need to do to keep our kids safe from this. So, as always, thank you for taking some time out to give this a listen. I appreciate it. And we'll be back again next week, and we'll see what that particular episode unfolds for all of us. Thanks for listening.